We are, every one of us, sheep. And every one of us needs a shepherd. But there are sheep who don't know they need a shepherd. There once was a sheep that didn't know that he needed a shepherd, didn't want a shepherd, wanted to grab attention for himself, wanted to get power for himself, wanted to get control over others for himself, wanted to be the leader. So he became a bad sheep. Leader of a gang of sheep. I think he's hiding out at the Johnson farm. Don't know. But the ironic thing is that even though he refuses to admit it, he is still a sheep who needs a shepherd. Please bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this day. Lord, we are so incredibly blessed. And Lord, we are the most blessed when we understand that we are sheep in desperate need of your Son as a shepherd. When we allow him to guide us and lead us, when we allow your Holy Spirit to strengthen our connection with you, with Jesus, when we are most open to how you are working in our lives. May you be praised, may you be glorified. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to be studying from Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. The disciples or the apostles had been sent out on a trip. I don't know how long the trip lasted, but they came back. And as you recall, because of the things that they were able to do... Hello? Let's just cancel that. Because of the things that they were able to do, rumors started to spread about who Jesus is. And that brings us to verse 30. The apostles gathered together with Jesus and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while." For there were many people coming and going and they did not even have time to eat. They went away in a boat to a secluded place by themselves. They had just finished, as I mentioned, they had just finished this trip, this short-term mission trip, and they're most likely excited. They report all things to Jesus. And I try to picture this. They're on this trip. They're able to heal the sick. They're able to cast out demons. They're able to proclaim the message and tell people to repent. And several of them listened, and so they're just excited. I can remember coming back from Honduras and just wanting to tell Cindy everything. And if you've ever done that, you know that it doesn't come out in just one continuous story. You talk about this and then you go, "Oh, yeah, I'm back here. We did this." And you, it's just excitement. The word reported means to announce, to proclaim, to give a report. It can almost have this official sense. They're reporting to Jesus. The reason why I've got my picture up there, that's when I went to the Netherlands. I was there a little over a year. I got kicked out of the country. Not many people can say they've been kicked out of a country, but I can. I put it on my resume. It's a good thing. Holland had changed their rules about who they will accept, and they really were not favorable towards religious organizations. And so I got kicked out. I flew from Amsterdam to Los Angeles, and then I had to fly from Los Angeles back to Nebraska because I needed to give a report. And there's something significant about that, of being accountable to somebody, giving a report saying, "This is what happened." I think there's a lesson there for us. So Jesus says, come by yourselves, and that can mean privately, to a secluded place. Secluded means abandoned, desolate. That there can be no mistake that Jesus wants them to go to a private, secluded, abandoned, wilderness kind of place. That his plan was to be alone with his disciples so that they could rest. And the word rest means refresh. And again, that's kind of significant. There are some lessons we can learn from this passage. Number one, I think it's important we give a report to Jesus Christ. How about at the end of our day, we just sat down and said, you know, Jesus, this is what I tried to do. This is how it went. Good or bad? And I know some people have told me, I had several of the kids at the correction center ask, you know, why do you tell God things in prayers if he knows it anyway? Because you need to say it.
That's right.
You need to say it to your God. And I think, man, if we knew at the end of the day, I'm going to give a report to Jesus Christ, that might change how we live our day.
Amen.
Just something to think about. We all need moments of rest and refreshing, don't we? We all need moments of rest and refreshing. Jesus understood that. His plan, again, is to get these disciples away so they can be refreshed. They've had this missionary trip. They're excited. There's so many people coming and going, they don't even have time to eat. They need a moment of rest. Verse 33. The people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd. And he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. The crowd, try to picture this. Somebody recognizes Jesus, maybe several somebodies, and they say, hey, that's Jesus. They're going on a ship somewhere, or a boat. And so in their excitement, they kind of figure out, they guess where they're headed. And so they start running. And they go through these villages along the shore. And these people in the villages are like, what are you guys running to? We're going to go meet Jesus. Okay, I'm going to come too. Before you know it, they get to the place before Jesus. Now, you know, maybe Jesus and his disciples were not in that much of a hurry. Okay, and that's very possible. You know, maybe they're already starting this moment of rest and they're just kind of leisurely going, you know, but they're on the ocean going and they're kind of cutting the corner. These guys are running around the shore and they get there before them. Man, can you imagine people being that excited to see Jesus Christ? Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be something if people were running? I mean, they got up and they were excited and they ran to come to worship God together at church. Wouldn't that be something?
Amen.
They run there and they get there before him. I think in their guessing there, they guess where he was going. Jesus gets off the boat. He sees them and he feels compassion. And that literally means to be removed in the inward parts. For the Greeks, compassion, emotions did not come from the heart, came from the bowels. This word, I'm going to tell you the word just because it's so fun to say. Splachnitzomai. And it means to be moved in the bowels. Now, some of the other translations, they translated, he felt sorry for them, and that's a possibility. I think a little bit later on when he feeds the 4,000, and it says he felt compassion for them, it's the same word, that probably does mean he felt sorry for them. I'd like to suggest that maybe in this context it means something different. I think when he sees that these guys ran across, they're sheep, they're like sheep without a shepherd, that he was moved on the inside, but maybe with a little bit of excitement. Moses, this term, sheep without a shepherd, is a term that's very familiar to the Jews. Moses, as he can't go into the promised land. And he knows it. And so he's talking to God. And he says, you know, God, what you ought to do. As if God hadn't thought of this one. But, you know. Again, God wants to hear us say it, right? What you ought to do is pick a leader. Because if they get into the promised land without a leader, they're going to be like sheep without a shepherd. And in that case, that's a negative thing. You got Ezekiel 34. Now, and I think maybe what's going on here, this may be the background text for this. In Ezekiel 34, God is rebuking the spiritual leaders of his people. And he's saying, instead of feeding the people, you've been feeding yourself. Instead of taking care of them, you just left them to their own self. And they're like sheep without a shepherd, scattered all over the place. But then notice what he says. I, the Lord, Yahweh, will be their shepherd. And then we come to the New Testament and we see Jesus looking at the multitude, the crowd, the throng, and he says, oh, look, they're sheep without a shepherd. And here I am. When shepherds have no shepherd, when sheep have no shepherd, rather, you teach them. See, what they need is to learn who the shepherd is. So Jesus takes this opportunity and he begins to teach them. Some lessons from this passage. Sometimes situations and compassions change our plans. Jesus' plan was to be alone with his disciples so that they could rest. But then he gets there. He's moved with compassion because of the situation of the multitudes. And his plans change. I'll have to be honest with you. I'm not very good at this one. Okay? I don't like my plans being shifted. I think I'm getting better at it. I hope that I am. But there are times when the situation and compassion compels us to change our plans. We see this in the life of our Savior, Jesus. We also need to understand that sheep need a shepherd. If they didn't need a shepherd, Jesus would have just said, hey, look, they're like sheep without a shepherd. Oh, well, let's go home. I mean, that would have been my response. I mean, if I saw that big crowd, I would have said, come on, guys, leave us alone for a moment. Go home. I'm trying to do something here with my disciples. But sheep need a shepherd. They also need to be led to food. I think that's what he's doing when he teaches them. He's leading them to food. And I think, I'm pretty convinced John was touching in on this in class this morning. See, if we think we're wise, we better admit that we're foolish. Because only when we admit that we're foolish, will we allow God to give us spiritual food. We need a shepherd to lead us to spiritual food. And so Jesus sat down and he taught them. Verse 35. When it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, this place is desolate, and it is already quite late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go look. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Quite late is literally that the hour is great. Don't know what time it was. Whatever the case is, I think the disciples began to look around and saying, you know, if we don't send them home soon, they're not going to be able to get anything to eat. I think the motives were good. There's been some sources that have really questioned their motives, but I think they were good. I think they were really concerned about the people. The problem is their focus was on physical food and not spiritual food. They interrupted the spiritual feeding because they were concerned about the physical food. Think about that for a moment. They also may have been a little bit concerned about themselves because if you remember, they didn't have time to eat. And apparently they made this trip without even thinking that through because they didn't bring anything to eat. According to the Gospel of John, it was a little boy, a young man, a lad that brought something to eat. He was the only one out of 5,000 plus people who thought this through. He was probably a Boy Scout. So they were, again, I think they were focused on the physical food. Now, we're going to see a couple chapters later. And Jesus feeds the 4,000, and he's concerned about them, and so he says, let's feed them But in that situation, they've been with him for 3 days without eating. See, there are times we need to be concerned. We live in this world, don't we? We have to be concerned about physical stuff. The problem was, after a couple hours or several hours, I don't know how long it was, they began to be more concerned about the physical stuff than the spiritual stuff. And man, can you relate to that? Have you ever done that? I have. They looked at their resources and their ability and knew that it was impossible. Jesus said, "You feed them." This is one of those places where I would have loved to have been there. Can you imagine the look on their face? Oh, 5,000 plus people. We probably should send these guys home because, you know, otherwise they're not going to be able to get something to eat. And Jesus looks at him and says, you feed them. What? We don't have anything to feed them with. A denarii was an average day's wage. It was what a soldier got paid daily. And so it came to be known as an average day's wage. The NIV says, should we take 8 months' wages and buy them bread? The point is not, this is doable. The point, see, they're not asking a real question. They're not saying, should we gather our funds and go to the local bread shop and buy this much bread, Lord? Is that what you want? That's not what their question is. This is impossible. It can't be done. If we gathered everybody's pocket money in here, I bet we would not have the average 8 months' pay. And they didn't carry that much with them. So this is not doable. They looked at their resources. We don't have anything. We don't have the money. We don't have anything. And they looked at their abilities. We can't do anything with this. And they were right, weren't they? One source said that this would be a healthy lunch for a hungry young man. I don't know if that's true or not. This makes sense to me. Either way, I don't care if it was the biggest loaves of bread you've ever seen. It's not enough to feed 5,000 plus people. Okay, 2 fish, probably the size of sardines, and 5 loaves that were just a little bit larger than crackers. It was a lunch, most likely. Can you imagine them coming back to Jesus and saying, "Yeah, we took the inventory, Lord. This is it. This is all we got. Now are you going to send them home?" Some lessons. Spiritual food is more important than physical food. And this is a hard one because we're not just talking about food here. The copier was out of toner Friday, so I didn't get the sermon notes copied. It was too late in the day to try to get a hold of Barb and get that taken care of. So I showed up this morning, and Gary was using the copier. And in the middle of class, I thought, man, I should go make some copies. But then I realized, am I thinking about the physical here, or am I thinking about the spiritual? In this moment, what's more important? Because, man, I believe that I got some spiritual food in John's class this morning. Amen. And in that moment, that was more important than making some copies. Praise God. You see, it's not something that just happens every once in a while. We have to struggle with this on a daily basis, don't we? The Lord's Supper. Is the form more important than the substance? Sometimes we make the form more important. I told you this before, I'm going to say it again. I read an article talking about this, you know, some churches are turning the Lord's Supper into a meal and how horrible that is. And I'm like, read your Bible, it was a meal. Are you focusing on so much on the traditions? And that's what we have here is traditions. So much on the tradition that you're missing the spiritual feeding that the Lord's Supper is supposed to be. And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes when I sing a song, I'm just trying to not sound really bad to the person sitting next to me. Ah, but then there are other moments. that I'm right there with Lynn, and I read that, I sing that song, and it's a song that just hits me every time, right to the depths of my soul. And then I understand, man, it's not about the physical voice, it's about the spiritual heart.
Amen. That's right.
It's not about our resources or our abilities. If it were, we would all be out of luck. This church would be out of luck, and we would go nowhere. All they had was 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's not enough. This is hard for most of us because there's very few of us that look at our life and say, here, God's my resume, I have enough to serve you. Most of us say, Lord, I don't have anything to offer. Now, you know what I'm talking about. I've got nothing, Lord. I can't do this. I can't be a witness in my neighborhood. I can't. I've got nothing. And God says, you're looking at the wrong place. Forget about your resources and your abilities and just give that to me. And let's see what happens. Verse 39. And he commanded them all to sit down by groups in the green grass. They sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looked up toward heaven. He blessed the food and broke the loaves, and he kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And he divided up the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up 12 full baskets of broken pieces and also the fish. There were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. In this area, the grass was green only once in the year, and that was in the springtime, probably close to the Passover time. Now, if you're going to keep track of how long Jesus was on this earth, that might be important. Here's what I think is important about this. Read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie in green pastures. Jesus is the shepherd that has come to claim his sheep. And he sits them down in the green grass. So it's not so much about keeping track of Jesus' physical ministry and the length of that. It's about keeping track of his spiritual ministry. He is the shepherd. And if we are with him, we will not want. Jesus probably looked up to heaven so that they would understand completely where this miracle is coming from, where this blessing is coming from. But he also uses language that's reminiscent of the Lord's Supper. Took the bread, blessed it, and broke it. I don't think that's an accident. I think Jesus is trying to get them ready for that concept. That when you gather around the Lord's table, the Lord is the host. The Lord is there with you, and he is the one that provides. I think that's significant. In this day, most people did not eat until they were full. That's kind of an odd concept for us as Americans, isn't it? Because we do that 3 times a day, maybe even 5, I don't know. But for them, rarely did they eat until they were full. And so here they are with 5 loaves, 2 fish, and they pick up leftovers. That's so cool. There's 5,000 plus people. They didn't count the women at this time. Don't yell at me. I'm not the one that said don't count the women, okay? That was just society's thing. They didn't count the women or the children. They counted the men. So I don't know how many people were there, but it's 5,000 plus people. Try to picture that crowd. Have you ever just sat down and tried to imagine 5,000 plus people in this abandoned wilderness area? Wow. He has them sit down in 50s and 100s, probably for 2 reasons. It's better to organize and it's easier to count. Have you ever wondered, how do they know 5,000 plus? Because they sat them down in 50s and 100s. Okay. Some lessons. When Jesus is the host, you will always be satisfied. Let me say that again because, man, I don't think we get this. Because sometimes we say that and then we go traipsing off to some other buffet. When Jesus is your host, and by the way, I'm convinced when we gather around the Lord's Supper, Jesus is our host. Another connection with the Psalm 23 is it shifts from the Lord being our shepherd to being our host. And we see that same shift here. He's their shepherd and he's their host. And if God's your host, you will always be satisfied. Psalm 23 says, my cup overflows. It never goes empty. If you belly up to the buffet of God, you will always be satisfied. So why do we keep looking? Why do we keep nibbling on other stuff? We need to place our resources and abilities in the hands of Jesus and get ready to serve and to be amazed. I'm convinced of this. We take our little bit of bread and we hand it over to Jesus and we're going to be deliriously happy. I think that's true. See what happens with me. I know that sometimes I get up here and it may seem like I'm so confident. But there's very few things in my life that I'm confident of. And most of my life, I'm sitting there going, I don't have anything to offer, Lord. I do this on things that I'm doing all the time, going out to the correction center. I'm like, I really don't want to go out there today because I've got nothing. You know what I'm feeling? You know what I'm talking about? I've got nothing to offer. And God says, I know you don't. Give me what little you have and just sit back and watch and be amazed. Now, when I say that, that doesn't mean that you do nothing. Because notice what he has the apostles do. Go find out how much we got. And then after they find out, they're the ones passing out the meal. So I'm not saying that you bring what you have to God and then say, okay, Lord, I'm going to sit down in my easy chair and just see what you do with that. No. You give it to God and say, okay, this is all I've got. It's not much, I know it. But just whatever you can do with that and whatever way I can serve. Have you ever done something that you thought was just so, so small? And you didn't feel like it was much of anything at all, and the person comes up to you and they say, thank you so much. And you're like, man, I didn't do anything. I think in that moment, God's up in heaven going, yeah, you really didn't, but I did through you. I did through you. So I think a lot of what keeps us from serving God is our own self-inadequacy. As we convince ourselves, and by the way, we let Satan convince us that we've got nothing to offer. Of course you do. You're made in the image of God. Amen. Of course you do. I want to take my pettiness and I want to give it to God and say, Lord, this is stupid stuff. I don't know what you can do with it, but I just do something with it. I want to take anything that's in my way and serving God and just say, Lord, I want to lay this at your feet. I want to take my little piddly stuff and give it to God and say, Lord, please work this through me. I'm not very good at it. I still listen to those other voices sometimes. But if things aren't happening in your life, do not blame the church or other people. Get your stuff and offer it to God and then get busy and be amazed and deliriously happy. And what if? What if we all understood that we're all sheep? That not one of us is wise enough to lead. That not one of us is strong enough to focus on the spiritual stuff without getting distracted by the physical. What if? What if we presented our stuff to God knowing it's not much, knowing that my resources and my abilities can't do the job, and then just said, Lord, I know you can do all things. Use me. Use me. What if we said with Isaiah, here am I, a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips. Here am I, save me. What if? What if we stop looking at what everybody else is doing and complaining? What if we took the tensions that we feel towards our Christian brothers and sisters and we just gave it to God? What if? What if we understood that not one of us deserves to be here, that we're all sheep, and the only reason we're here is because we serve a great shepherd? What if? What if when we came here, we poured out our hearts to the one who saved us and stopped getting upset about the songs that are being sung? What if? What if we heard the message of God? Whether it's from me or anybody else. And we said, ah, spiritual food in the green pasture. What if? I want to serve God with joy in my heart, being delirious about what he's doing through my small little offering. Don't you? We can. Amen. Big part of that is what John's talking about on Sunday mornings. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us. Big part of that is realizing that Jesus is our shepherd. God's our Father. That we are temples of God. Whatever you need this morning, I encourage you. When God sees sheep that need shepherd, I think he gets excited because you can work with that. You ever studied with somebody that just knows they need something? So exciting, isn't it?
Amen.
Ah. When God sees sheep that are know they need a shepherd, I think he gets excited. I think it moves him in his inward parts. Are you going to be those sheep? Whatever you need, please come as to gather we stand and sing.